the Lord.
That's
what I am. I want to hear from the Lord. Right? So where two and three are gathered together, then He is in our midst. So it's very important to be gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I could say a lot about our journey, but that will only be a little story of what we are doing. I believe that the Lord has important things to bring us, because I really rejoice of the wisdom of God. What I am telling you is really not mine. Right?
Wow.
Even if the Lord said, I take of mine and give to you. But I could not produce it. It can only be given to me. And for God to give something to anyone, we need to stay very humble. Right? You had the prophet of the age. I believe he was the most humble man. He had a mighty message. And the message was cutting hearts. But his personality, he would lay his life down for you.
Yeah.
He was just like Moses. Remember, the Lord said, Moses was the most humble man on earth.
Huh?
And even one day the Lord said to Moses, you got angry one time. And now I'm going to take you home. You remember? He hit the rock twice. He should have spoken to the Lord. So when you're really walking with the Lord for a long time, then it becomes very important to understand the will of God and do exactly what He tells you. Right? We are not building up our own ministry. We are servants of the Lord, obligated to say what He tells us. Right? And I believe Jesus, He was also the most humble man on earth. He was the Lord. And He is the pattern. He is the pattern that we should all take after. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to go back to the beginning of the Bible tonight. And I want to look into something that has to do with eternal life. We remember God said one time in the beginning, He said, let us make man. Make them in our image and likeness. Right?
Wow.
So, in the beginning, that's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the earth. But remember, God is before the beginning. He is in eternal. So when the Lord said in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and Omega, or the beginning and the end. Then we know God is much more than that. Because Jesus Christ was the creation of God. Right? Jesus Christ was the reason that God started the beginning. So even before He started the beginning, He had a great plan. And He went through the plan section for section, like an architect. Right? Hey, you have a new building here. And how did it come up like this? It may be, or it must be, someone had a plan. Right?
Wow.
So before you saw any walls, someone was thinking and say, we want to make it like this. Right?
Wow.
And not until the plan was finished in their mind, then they could start. Then the beginning of the building started coming up. So you have to look at God. He had a plan before the beginning. Right? So He had a starting point and He had an end point. Omega. Right? So God, if this is Alpha and this is Omega, He was here making the plan, and then when the plan was over, He was on this side, way beyond Omega, because He is God. He is eternal. Hallelujah. So that's the God we serve. And you and I, we were created in Christ, by God, even before the foundation of the world. Right? Hey, so you and I was in the mind of God before the beginning. Hallelujah. And the great plan is for God to bring us after Omega into His bosom forever to be with Him. That is God's plan. But there was one thing about it. When God is going to make us in His image, then He make us like Himself. Right? Because God, He have an ability to choose. Hey, He can say yes, and He can say no. And God did not want to make robots. Right? Because He could have made you like this. Right? Yeah. And whenever the Lord said yes, you said, yes Lord, yes Lord, yes Lord. Right? No Lord, no Lord, no Lord. Right? He didn't want to make robots. He wanted to make an image like Himself. Right? But when He put a free will in you, then He had to wait to put eternal life in you. Right?
Wow.
Hey, you are a living soul. But without the Spirit of God, your soul will not be able to absorb anything. Right? He made you a soul, and then he took of his own spirit and put inside you. So you became a living soul. But not yet with eternal life. You say, didn't we have eternal life? No. Because if we had, why make choices? We have eternal life anyway. You understand? So therefore, he hid the eternal life into something in the Garden of Eden. Something in the Garden of
Eden
that is called the Tree of Life. So for us to have eternal life, we have to eat of the Tree of Life. And that is our choice. Remember, if Adam had eternal life, then God could not say, if you eat of the tree of knowledge, you will die. That would be fake. Right? Because he had eternal life, and he could not lose it. And if you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, you will find out God said, man has become like us. Now they know the difference between good and evil. Right? There are two ways to know the difference between good and evil. It is to do right, and then you learn to know the difference. But you can also do wrong and find out the difference between good and evil.
Hey,
I think you know what I say. Hey, any one of you, anytime done anything wrong, right? And you found out,
Mom,
I did something wrong. So that told you, you got some education, but you got it the wrong way. And God, in his plan, was really that man would learn to obey God and learn the difference the good way. And then they would automatically receive eternal life. Right? But when you read, as I said, Genesis 3, and God said, man has become like us. Therefore, they cannot eat of the tree of life. Because they found out that law in a negative way. Right? So here, God put a stop. Because he said there, if they eat of the tree of life, then they will live eternally. And God did not allow that in that condition. Remember, God has always had eternal life available. Yeah. It's there. But God said, I'll put my words to it. But when you read the summary of the Bible, you will see how my thought go.
Right?
God spoke to Adam, and he said, because you did this, you cannot eat of the tree of life. Because nobody will eat of the tree of life under disobedience. Because that will be wrong. So therefore, I put an hindrance so nobody can come to that tree. Because that tree is a spiritual law. Right? Nobody can see that tree. But you can see God's law. Remember, sometimes you say in your life, I see. But you're not talking about your vision. You're talking about your understanding. So therefore, tonight, we may be saying, I see. Right?
Wow.
I'm not telling you something you don't know. But we try to combine things so the picture can get fuller, more complete. So we don't have so many holes in our understanding. Alright? So God said to Adam, because you did this, I will put a stop to freely eating of the tree of life. Now, mankind have to wait until the next Adam comes. Right? But nobody knew it would take 4,000 years for the next Adam to come. But that is the wisdom of God. But he said to Adam, you see that next Adam? Remember, God can show you thousands of years of the time. But he does it in the spirit. It is not your natural eyes who sees it. It is your spiritual eye. And remember today, you are actually looking 2,000 years back. Right? You don't see the Lord Jesus Christ now. No. He's invisible. But he has told you, if you believe in the complete work on Calvary, I will give you eternal life. And he said to Adam, on the other side of Calvary, if you believe in the coming Christ, I will give you eternal life. Looking up to the cross. And some may say, do you think Adam saw Jesus? Of course he did. But only in the spirit. Because how can a man believe in something he don't see? Right?
Amen.
You have to see it. But not with your natural eye. Remember, you are a spiritual being. Right? So therefore, God reveals to you. And then you see. Remember what Jesus said one time? He was speaking to the Pharisees. And then he said, Abraham, he saw my day. And he rejoiced. Hallelujah. You see? Abraham lived 1,850 years before Jesus Christ. And he saw Jesus. And the Pharisees, they could not understand. They said, Jesus, you're not even 50 years. And you claim to have seen Abraham? And then Jesus said, before Abraham, I am. Right? Because Jesus Christ was the first being in God's creation. Therefore, Jesus was before any other creation. That's the way to understand it. God created Jesus Christ because he saw Adam would fail and everyone else would have shortcomings. It wouldn't be possible for them to be perfect. That's why you read in the Bible that Abraham lied. He said, Sarah is my sister. Right? He did that to protect his life. That was a lie. And Isaac, he lied too. He said, Rebecca, she's my sister. And she was not. She wasn't even a half-sister. Right? Some of the most noble men you read about in the Bible, they have their shortcomings. Just to tell that they can be God's blessed children and still have falter in their lives. I don't say that to comfort you so you can do something wrong. Right? Hey, we are always trying our best to do right. Right? Amen. But if we sometimes fail, then we have a comforter in the Holy Spirit. And he helps us to understand that he is a perfect advocate. And he'll help you through the problem if you humble yourself. That's very important. Alright, so here we find out that Adam he failed. And he failed to receive eternal life. But God spoke to him and told him, if you believe in the coming Christ, then you will receive eternal life based on your belief in the coming Messiah. And that is the same light. That is the same light that is given to us as well. Yeah. If we believe in the coming Christ and that he died for us, God gives us eternal life. So the tree of life is then the eternal spirit of God. It is the eternal spirit of God. And he wants you to have part of that. And there is an angel in the Bible. You read about him in Revelation chapter 7. And there it says, I looked, and from the east, I saw an angel coming with a living seal of God. Alright. The living seal of God. What is that? It is really God's power to fill people with the Holy Spirit. Right?
Yeah.
And the tree of life in the Garden of Eden is God's power to fill people with eternal life. So the very same Spirit has been protecting and leading people all the time from the Garden of Eden, and still is until the end of time. That's wonderful. And that tree of life, you really don't read a whole lot about it in the Bible. Just occasionally. Is it a little the battery low? Okay. Sorry. Yeah, no problem. I just hear my voice coming out. All right. I'll just do like this. Oh, hey, Kate. All right, my glasses. I don't need to see you. But it's just a habit to have glasses. All right. So, I said, the eternal life is God's gift to us. And it has always been there. But man will not receive it until they start believing. So therefore God has given man a choice all the time. And occasionally, in the Bible you will see the spiritual law of the tree of life. But God said there had to come a complete, perfect Son of God to restore the entrance into the tree of life. And that was Jesus Christ. Yeah. And really, however you look at it, Jesus Christ was the first human being that ever was able to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And in John chapter 3, it says that Jesus Christ, he did not get the Spirit according to measure. He got the fullness of God. Right? Since we are sinners, hey, we are saved, yes, but we're still sinners, saved by grace. So when God fills us with the Holy Spirit, He wakes up the 9 spiritual gifts that you can read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right? 9 spiritual gifts. But since Jesus Christ was not a sinner, he was a complete no sinner, a perfect Son of God, he never acted on his own. He always waited on the Father. He gave a testimony. I can do nothing unless my Father shows it to me. And whatever the Father shows me, I do exactly like Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, if we What if we could wait on God so that we could walk under inspiration instead of trying to act like a God?
Amen.
Say, many people say, oh, God told me, God told me. But when you hear what they say, you say, did God really tell them? Because there is a spirit behind everything. So don't just take what people say. And don't take what I say, except checking it with the Word of God. Right? It's very important. Don't believe man. Believe the Spirit of God. Right? But of course, when you learn to know about man, when you learn to know about
man,
and you see their consistency in walk, then you can say, well, they are really children of God. They never go around tell you lies. And you start having confidence in them. It's nothing wrong with that. But don't go blindfolded. Right? For them, that's very important. God wants you to stay awake. And He wants you to have direct contact with Him so that He can communicate with you. Remember, it is not only a one-way direction. You talking to God every time you need something. And when you told Him everything, you shut the channel off. No, keep it open. Because He wants to speak back. Right?
Amen.
Amen. So here, we have a light. The tree of life. Or the angel with the light. And I mentioned Revelation chapter 7. The angel with the seal of God. And that is really God's instrument sent all over the world to fill the people with the seal of God, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So Adam failed to eat of the tree of life, but God told him, you can potentially eat of the tree of life as if you are eating of the tree of life by believing in the coming Christ. Therefore, every once in a while, God shows His power. And it comes like light. Think about Moses. He saw a burning bush. It was a light, a fire. It did not burn up the bush, but it was the light of God's word to help Moses to be an instrument rescuing a whole nation out of Egypt. And when they came out in the wilderness, God told them to build a tabernacle. And Moses did exactly as he was shown on the mountain. And when he had built the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory of God came down. And that was a visible fire at night and a whirlwind during daytime. So the whole nation of Israel could look to the life of God and could say in their heart, I believe. Right? So God gave them a spiritual inspiration. But remember, if you see the light every day of your life, you can get used to it. And you will say, oh, I see the light. It's right there. But you don't do in your heart what God wants you to. Right? So it's not enough just to see a light. You have to believe it. And let yourself be changed by it. And then Solomon, later on, he built a temple. And when he had done the job, he asked the Lord, manifest yourself, Lord, so the people can say that God is in our midst. And God came down. He filled the temple. And his glory came. And it stayed in the temple for many, many, many years. About 400 years was God's light in that holiest of holies. But then Israel got so used to it that they didn't care about the light. So they started living a filthy life. And God warned them many times. And then he sent prophet after prophet. And the last one of them was Jeremiah. And he said, since you know, live so traditionally. You live traditionally. And you work against God. Then God will send you away. He'll send you to Babylon. And in Ezekiel, chapter 9, 10, and 11, Ezekiel is taken in the spirit to Jerusalem. He was one of the captives. He lived in Babylon by the river of Sebar. But God lifted him in the spirit and he showed him that the Shekinah glory of God came out of the temple and rose and left Israel. My Lord. Yeah. Hey, you read it yourself. And that Shekinah glory never came back again. It didn't come back after 70 years, not after 400 years. But if you jump to Ezekiel chapter 47, then Ezekiel is seeing a different vision. But that vision don't pertain to the old days. It pertains to the future. And still the future. It pertains to the millennium kingdom. And then Ezekiel says, I saw a temple. And under the temple, under the door of the temple, I saw living water coming out like a river. And that living water was flowing east. And when Ezekiel saw it, it was like a river that would flow down to the Dead Sea. But remember now, that water is not really water. It is the eternal Spirit of God who is flowing to something that is dead, the Dead Sea.
Right?
That's a type of the dead mankind. But when the water comes into the Dead Sea, it comes alive. And fish starts living in it. And he saw something else. On both sides of the river, there was the tree of life. How can one tree of life be on both sides of the river?
Hey,
if I saw a river and a tree of life there and a tree of life here, I would say at least two trees. But since it is symbolic, it is only one tree. Right? Because God, He is the creator of life. And He is the only one who can give eternal life. But the people, first of all, the river is the flowing information. The ever-flowing information from God, who knows everything about everybody. Hey, you cannot keep a secret if you want it. He knows all about you. And the people who is drinking from that source of information, they become branches of the tree of life. Remember, when you get into that kingdom, you're never going to do your own will. You're going to do God's will all the time. Hallelujah. You say, is there never going to be a vacation? Hey, that kingdom is vacation. Hallelujah. You cannot get any better place to be than in that kingdom. Remember, God is training you now. Every day of your life, you meet problems, obstacles, misunderstandings. Maybe you get frustrated. And God is checking you. Because He wants you to put confidence in Him. That He has seen everything about your life. He has seen everything about you. He knows your future.
Right?
He knows your end. He knows the day He's going to take you home. You don't know any of that. God keeps it to Himself. Because you need to meet problems. Hey, you go to school. Do you go to school to go to sleep? No. The teacher give you harder and harder tests. Every year, the teacher wants you to rise to your level so that you can take bigger problems. Remember, problems is not there for you to say, no, problems are there for you to start thinking, praying, and say, I know there is a solution to this. I just don't see it yet. So the smartest thing
that
we can do, pray. Amen.
Say, Lord,
Amen.
You know this.
Amen.
I had a brother. He was older than me. A brother in the Lord. He was an electrical technician. And he worked in a hospital. And one day, they had surgery on a patient. And one of the machines that are very important to work under surgery stopped up. And the doctor said, help, 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 help. We need someone. And some said, this machine had to be sent to the producer. No one can fix it. And the doctor said, my, we're losing the patient. And then my brother in the Lord, he was sitting in his office at the hospital, and they called him in an emergency call. And he went up to the surgery, and they said, this machine needs to go. And the brother said, my Lord, I don't know nothing about that machine. So what can I do? But he didn't tell them. He walked over to the machine, and since he is a believer, he said, Lord, silently, Lord, one patient can die today unless you come and help me. And then he opened up the box, he looked in it, and he took his hand, and there was one loose cord in there. And he put it back in. The machine started going. And the doctor said, Ma! Ma! We have a miracle man! Right? Hey, sometimes you don't know the solution. Hey, you better not come. You better not come. And say, I am the fixer upper. You'll end having trouble. But if you come humbly, you might be educated, but you need inspiration. And then you can save lives. Remember, God is a healer. How many times do you pray and nothing happens? Because you are not the healer. God is the healer. So you just have to say, Lord, unless you come and intervene here, he's going to die. Right? And then you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ, asking God to heal them. But if the Lord comes and he tells you, this one is going to live, then you can say, by the grace of God, you will restore. Hey, think about Brother Branham. How many thousands of times he spoke under inspiration. But if the Lord did not come and tell him, then he said, have faith in God. Right? But he could not say, you are healed. He could only say, believe in the Lord. Because healing is really the food for the children. Remember one time in Brother Ram's life, one brother in his own church was laying sick and dying in the hospital. And Brother Branham came up and the brother asked him, Brother Branham, what do you think about me? Am I going to live? And Brother Branham said, Brother, I don't know. The Lord hasn't told me yet. Hey, that's a humble, honest being. Right? Don't act like you are God. Leave that job to Him. If He hasn't told you, be honest. I don't know. But I will keep praying for you every day until you're healed or until you die. Right? Yeah. Hey, God told David the king, and he said, this son that you got through Bathsheba, he shall die. You know what David did? He went into fasting and praying. And said, I'm going to fast and pray until the son is healed. Or until he's dead. And he prayed for many, many days. And people were even scared to talk to him. And then the son died. And then they said, now we can surely not talk to the king. No, we can surely not talk to the king. But when David saw that the people were walking so softly, he said, is the child dead? And they say, oh yes, Lord. What is he going to do now? Hey, he got up. He took a shower. And he sat at the table. And he said, come. Let's eat. Ma. No, it's time to cry. No, said David. I was crying as long as there were life. But when he dies, I cannot go to him. He's gone now. I've done what I could. That's a very important lesson. Right? So David was finished with it. But later, he got a son called Solomon. And he became a king. Hallelujah. And when Solomon built the temple, the Shekinah glory came down. Right? And in Ezekiel chapter 9, 10, 11, that glory left again and never came back. But in Ezekiel chapter 47, as we mentioned, here Ezekiel sees the glory of God, the water of life, and he saw trees that are symbolic trees. You know, you, my brothers and sisters, you are instruments of God. And when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, then you have that symbolic tree inside you.
Amen.
The tree of life is already in you. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Peter opened up the avenue, opened up the road for the people to eat of the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because now Jesus Christ had paid the price. But remember, you are symbolically eating of the tree of life. And it does not affect your physical body. Because if it did, you would never get any older. Right? So you will keep getting older and older. Your physical body is still under condemnation. You will still die. But God gave you a chance to repent of your own will and believe in Him. And when you repent, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and get filled with the Holy Ghost, then the tree of life starts working in you. Hallelujah. And now, how much it is going to work in and through you depends upon your dedication in Christ. If you give Him your life totally, He can work much through you. If you only give Him Sundays, well, then you'll only be work for Sundays. But if you give Him every day of your life, I hope you understand what I say now. But to give the Lord a day in your life is really not much. That means to obey everything He says. Let Him take full control. And then you can be much help in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Then, let us jump to Matthew chapter 24. I will try to hurry up. I hope you follow me. You don't go to sleep, right? Okay. Jesus Christ.
Yes, Christ.
He was telling the disciples that His coming will come soon. But then they said, how soon? And Jesus said, it is not for me to tell you. I really don't know. Nobody knows except my Father. Right? But I will give you a sign. Because there is a lightning. You see lightning? Thunders and lightning. You see a lightning. And when you see that light, go from the east to the west. Then you shall know that the sign of the Son of Man is at hand. Right? That's what the Matthew 24 says. And he also say then, the gospel shall go to the, or shall be preached to the end of the world. And then shall the coming of the Son of Man. Right? So now, Jesus has given us a clue to understand. When you see a light, well, Jesus is standing in Jerusalem or in Israel. And he says, the gospel shall be preached like a lightning. Right? That lightning is really the light of the tree of life. Same light. And that light started for the Gentiles in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost. And Peter introduced the real light. Hallelujah. And everybody who believed got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's a very important thing. And then, if you follow the trail of the gospel, it started going west. It went over to Europe from Peter and Paul, Antioch, Ephesus, Macedonia, Athens, Corinth, Rome. And then Paul said, I have plans to go to Spain, but there is no record that he ever went to Spain. But the gospel went to Spain. And the gospel went to Spain and started spreading all over Europe. And it went into England. And then the gospel went on over to America. And when Brother Branham was preaching, one time back in 1956, he said to them, America, your chance to repent is this year. And if you don't, God will remove his angel. Hey, that's the angel in Revelation 7.
Amen.
That have now gone from Jerusalem over to America. And in the late 50s, America fell completely to sleep. And Brother Branham said, the people did not take the warning. So God is moving on. So the angel went across the Pacific Ocean and came to the Far East. Because the angel is going around the globe. And remember, he's going to preach to the end of the world. And where is the end of the world? Very simple. You start and you make a complete circle and you're back where you started. That's the end of the world. The circle is completed. Hey, those things are not very difficult. If you think about it, any one of us, we can say, I'm going to start and I will go to the end of the world. You can start here in Kampala, and you can go west, and you come to the ocean, and you keep going into America, and you come around, come to Australia, and then you go into Indonesia and the islands, and you come back to the east part of Africa, and you end in Kampala, and you have gone across the world to the end of the world. I hope I don't make any confusion. But for you to see it, that's why I read Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. Because John, he was standing in Israel and was looking in the spirit world. And Jesus Christ, he said, this gospel shall be preached to the end of the world. Right? So he started in Jerusalem. And then John in chapter 7 is brought in the spirit. He's seeing that same angel have made a complete rotation and is now coming back to Israel. Praise the Lord. And I have been in the Philippines and I've seen revivals. Hey, exceptional revivals where everybody come to church. My, they were so hungry for God. In my own country, in Norway, people are, they're sleeping. There's no hunger for God. Everybody is lazy. And when you talk to them about God, they say, God? There is no God. Huh? There is no respect for the eternal spirit of God. They fell asleep hundreds of years ago. Because once, in about 1500s, Norway had a revival too. But they fell asleep. So no, there's only individuals who sees the gospel and take the opportunity and the chance to live for God. But most of the people, they don't care about God. Hey, they're rich. They have everything they can point at. They don't need no God. They think God is their wealth. So I say, don't look for wealth. Look for God. He is the one who can make you happy. Our hospitals, our clinics, because people are mentally sick, bunches of rich people, they live on nerve pills because they have no life. They only got money, and money cannot help anyone, not to a happy life anyway. It can help you buy a car, but with your car, you'll get lazy and tired, and you want a new car. And a new car. Never satisfied. Alright. So late. But, two years ago, I talked to a woman in the Philippines, and she told me that she used to invite people to church. She used to invite people to church. And everybody would come. She could fill the church with people. But she said, something has happened. I invite people to church, but nobody wants to come anymore. You know why? The revival is over. The angel is moving, coming in from the east, because it's on its way to Israel. Hallelujah. And in the Middle East, Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, and those places in the Middle East. People in these regions are now receiving dreams and visions about Jesus Christ. And they turn away from the Muslim ideas and they embrace Jesus Christ. Because the angel is coming over the Middle East on its way to Israel. So that tells me we're coming close to the end. Because before the angel enters into Israel, God will take his bride away. Right? He does not deal with Israel and the Gentiles at the same time. No. He put Israel to sleep after the day of Pentecost. So therefore, the gospel started being spread among the Gentiles. And now, looks like he's putting the Gentiles to sleep because he's about to wake up the nation of Israel. Because in Romans, the letter from Paul, he says, the original branch was cut out. And he put in a wild old branch, which is the token of the Gentile nations. But he also said, if he took the original branch and broke it off, then he will import it again in its original tree. Hallelujah. But before he do that, he'll take the Gentiles and bring them home. Hallelujah. I hope you're ready. I'm not telling you the day or the hour, but we are in the season of the coming of the Lord. And that angel has preached around the world. Remember, that angel is written like one spirit, like one angel. But remember, God is one spirit, but he is in every one of you. That one spirit can be multiplied in every human being and still be one spirit. Right? You have a soul, and you are many, because that's your personality. But the spirit that you have as a gift from God is his one spirit. That's why you and I, when we die from our own self and start living for God, we'll have the same vision. We'll have the same understanding. We will know who our Father is. We have the same Father. Hallelujah. Do you understand me tonight? Remember? The Spirit of the Tree of Life has been with the human mankind from the Garden of Eden and all the way. But Jesus Christ opened up so that everyone can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And for 2,000 years we have had the privilege of eating of the Tree of Life. We have 9 spiritual gifts that God can inspire us to operate. Jesus Christ, he had 12, because there was no sin in him. Therefore, he knew everything about everybody. He could only turn around and he said, brothers, what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? And he already knew what they were talking about, because they were talking, who are the biggest of us? And Jesus said, my friends, if you want to be great, you want to be big, you have to be everybody's servant. Because greatness is not earned. Greatness is humility. Hey, that's a reverse gospel. It is a different gospel than what people think. Some people say, I'm going to be the greatest evangelist in the world. So what are you saying? I'm going to be the most humble man in the world. And you said, oh no, that's not what I meant. Well, that's what you need to. If you're going to be great, you have to become nothing. Hallelujah. That's why when the Holy Spirit comes in, He comes in because we died. The new birth is dying from your own self. Baptism is being buried. So now you're dead and buried. And that is why the Holy Spirit can enter in and take full control. So you become a servant of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the spiritual tree of life is really the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So now you can receive the Holy Ghost. If anyone wonder, am I filled with the Holy Ghost? Remember, Brother Branham said similar. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, then receive it tonight. Don't leave church until you're sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, receive is to receive a gift. And the Holy Ghost is a gift of God. All right. So you understand me? You believe that? Then you don't need to go out there unless you have the security. Thank God. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Okay. The Lord bless you tonight. I hope you're catching. I hope you are catching the symbolic of what the tree of life is. And that angel has been there all the time. And if there is a humble soul, if he's in China, Russia, America, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Geography has never been a trouble for God. He's all sufficient. He's everywhere at the same time. So if you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He'll be there. Not tomorrow. Not 10 years. Right now. Because Jesus said, if you ask for an egg, would anyone give you a stone? And how much more will the Father give them the Holy Spirit who ask of him. Hallelujah. Alright, I can keep going. But I'm so happy. I hope you're catching what I say. And may the Lord bless you. It's a privilege to be among you. And I'm glad to see that you can really jump without hitting the roof. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. My brother, praise the Lord. Thank you, my brother.
Praise the Lord.
Eu quero crer que a toda a mulher disse o qual.
Yeah.